If I lived here in this country or the other Asian countries that I've been in just already this summer, it is so difficult to stand and to tell when you know almost the entire congregation don't know Jesus. Most of you know now what I'm talking about because you've done this. It's so hard to stand there and try to sing when your heart, you just want to go and cry your soul out. You know, you just don't, you can't carry a tune or anything else, but you do your best. You've done it. Try to preach, you know, when your heart is just broken. Because you look out among, you look out over the congregation. And many of them, they maybe have heard the name of Jesus, but they don't know what it really means. They don't comprehend what it really means. And I guess it brings back to my mind on one of the mission, on one of our, my trips for the for missions. The United States military had called me to come to Panama and to minister to the troops in the Panama Canal Zone. This was just before the United States gave that all back to Panama. Many, many thousands of troops from the U.S. was there at that time, and now they don't have that many there. And the commanding officer said to me, they wanted me to come because he said, I don't know nothing about that religion-like thing you got, but I know one thing. You and your people are not all... he said, we're having the severe problems, you know, of the drugs, not only in that area, but all over the world, all over the world, and you know this. Not only in just in military, but all over the world, people are so bound by sin and so many things. But this happened to be his severe problem there. And he said, you can tell them how you are kept from sin, because we know that your religion, he didn't really know how to explain it, but he said, we know your religion is the kind to have, and you can tell them about Jesus. Do you know, I want to take young people with me from a Bible college in the United States where we were at in Texas. So we prepared 8 young people to go with me, and we were going to drive through 8 countries. Brother Moon, my husband, already had a lot of youth camps to preach, and so he could not go. And as I feel too far away from you. We prayed and we prepared for about 3 months, raising the money that we would need to go. Didn't know how much we'd need. So we just raised everything we could and put it all in together and said, then God will make sufficient what else we need. And you missionaries know what I'm talking about there. And we were prepared and everything was ready to go. The transportation was ready. It was kind of a camper thing we were going to go in. And the day before we were to leave, the camper transmission fell out. The day before we're to leave, and if we don't leave that day, we cannot make it to Panama in time to minister through the 8 countries. That's including Belize, Central America. We went out of the way to minister in that country. So I said, oh, Jesus, I know you can do anything. You got us ready. You prepared us with the clothes that we need and the money. I guess the money we need, we didn't know how much, so we just took what God gave us. And that very day that we're to leave, Jesus provided us with a brand new van. Brand new. And the other one wasn't even new. We started out on that missionary trip ministering through those countries and, you know, going through all those borders. And my young people were too young, see, to... They all had driver's license and could drive, but it was too dangerous for them to drive. We have to go straight up mountains with the roads were blown out of the mountain. It wasn't a highway. But Jesus was with us. And we tell people about Jesus all along the way. When we arrived in Panama, we ministered there to the United States military and did our best for Jesus. And then we were prepared to come back. We're putting everything in the van. And someone rushed. A car just drove into the commanding officer's home where we were loading up our van and said, a man jumped out of the car. He was from that country. And he said, oh, Hermana Luna said, you must come down to the First Assembly of God Church. The missionary needs to see you quickly. And I jumped in his car and we rushed down there. And I walked into a very small office. And six young men, about 18 and 19 years old, stood up. And tears streaming down their faces. And they reached out their hands to me. You know, like I'm somebody really important. I know I'm not important, except I'm trying to work for Jesus and tell people that Jesus saves. But I might tell you this, before I got there, I was afraid we were going to run out of food that was in the van, so I saved it for the young people that were with me. And guess what I lived on for almost a month? Peanut butter. That's what I had. That was what was extra that the young people didn't particularly like. And I let them have the other food that was put in the van. And I ate, and every day I ate peanut butter. And you know what? It was the vitamins. It had every vitamin. God put every vitamin in my body I needed. And I didn't get sick the whole way. That's just one of the miracles God does for us when He knows we're going 100% for Him and for souls. Anyway, I walked in the little office there in Panama Canal Zone, and these six young men stood to their feet and reached out their hand to me, and tears streaming down their face. They're all speaking in Spanish, and I don't know Spanish except that I memorized some songs in Spanish, and then I used a young lady interpreter that traveled with me. She wasn't with me, but the missionary was there. Finally, he got the young men to sit down. And he said, now, Donna, my name is Donna, in case you don't know. He said, now, Donna, I'm going to interpret for each one of these young men. I'm going to let them stand, and I'm going to interpret for them what they want to tell you. And he said, when are you going to leave Panama? And I said, today. Today I'm leaving Panama. All my papers are ready to get out of Panama. Took me many days to get all the papers ready to get out of Panama with a van. And I'm ready to go. He said, well, listen to them first. And the first little young man stood. And he again reached out his hand to me. And he said, Hermana Luna, couldn't you just stay a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer? I am supposed to graduate from Bible school, and we cannot graduate from Bible school until we have established our first church way out in an area where nobody else has ever gone to tell them about Jesus. And we heard that you and your group didn't mind where you went to tell people about Jesus. We heard that you didn't mind if you don't have luxuries. You know, he had heard, I don't care if I have sleep on the floor or the ground. He had heard that we didn't care what we had to eat, as God would supply our needs, because I know God is that miracle God. And each one of these young men stood and said just about the same thing to me as the missionary interpreted for me. And we cannot graduate until we have established our first church. Could you stay and help us establish our first church and have a maybe 3 or 4 night campaign for us? And you know what? It seemed like in this year the devil said to me, you don't even have enough money to get back to the United States with these young people. All through those eight countries again? What are you going to buy your gasoline with? What are you going to buy your food with for all these young people and get them back home? What's their parents going to say when you get stuck in some country? You know how mean the devil is. He's the devil. He is mean as the devil. But you know what's wonderful? In this ear, that's the ear I listen. That's the voice I listen to over here. Oh, yes, but Donna, if you don't stay, those souls will be held. You'll be held accountable for those souls. If you don't stay, will these churches be established? Well, sure, I feel like Jesus can always replace me. But I don't want him to have to replace me. I want to do my part. And I didn't listen to the voice that was trying to come through this ear. I just looked at Brother Bueno, who was the missionary, and I said, Brother Bueno, will you tell all of these young men that I will stay just as long as God wants me to? Because I know God will supply the need. That day I was to see, when you go to minister on military, under military orders from any country, because I minister for German military, American military, Philippine military, and British military. I minister for any military ask me, or they shouldn't ask me, or I'll do it. Because I love to just minister for Jesus anywhere. But when you're through with your orders, then you're supposed to go ahead and go. You know, your orders are over and then you go. And I had to have another place to stay. And I got a telephone call. The missionary got a telephone call and said, is she going to stay? And he said, yes, she's going to stay with the young people. And he said, well, you tell her, come to my big church in Panama City. Come to my big rich church, because all the wealthy people come to my church. And tell Sister Moon that if she come to my church for three services, she will have all of the money she needs and all the food she needs and a place to live and a place to stay. And our people will take care of her while she goes to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in our country. So I made a telephone call home a long ways, and I told my husband, I said, we're going to stay longer. We're going to stay until we barely have enough time to get back to the United States for the young people to go back to school. And that would be for at least one more month, almost six more weeks. And when the military people that were Christians heard about it, they all began to come to this lovely apartment in a big hotel that the church, that big temple, paid for. And they began to come and bring food. And the people of Panama began to bring food that I never saw before. I didn't know how to cook it. But Jesus helped me. Sometimes I ate it when it wasn't cooked. I thought it tastes good. And then somebody said, oh, you're supposed to cook it. Well, it didn't matter. It didn't make me sick, so I kept eating it. But this is the story that I'm coming to. The first night of the first campaign, we were taken out a long ways. And it was on the ocean front, so beautiful. But the houses were not really houses like you might see even around here. They were just little huts, or just people that just slept under anything, you know, one of the grass huts. I think all of you will know what I'm speaking about when I say that. Very poor. They didn't have very many clothes to wear. Some didn't have any to wear. And the first night, someone loaned me an organ. It wasn't the kind you travel with. But you know what? Jesus supplied it. So I put it in the van and carried it all through the 10,000 miles. And we set the organ up, and my son was plugging up all the equipment and getting everything ready, because we went out very early to start the music So way out in the bush areas, they could hear the music, and that's the way they would come to the meetings. And I didn't take a chair with me to sit at the organ. So I saw some kind of a bench over in a corner. See, we have no building. They had some kind of a tent with big holes in it. I don't know why the tent was there, because the hole's so big, the rain would come in anyway. But it's okay. So I saw something over in the corner, and it looked like a little stand of some kind. And I said, oh, that's fine. I can get that and pull it over and lay it down on the side, and I'll sit down on that, and I can play the organ real loud 1 hour before the service starts, while everybody else is fixing up the other equipment and getting ready to sing and minister the gospel. And I set that organ, that bench down, and the organ, and I sit down there. I'm so happy. My first night of those 6 churches that Jesus was going to let me have a little part in establishing. And I started to play loudly, very loud, they said to do, before the services. And the people began to come. But in a moment, I felt something on my leg. And I thought it's just a mosquito, because, you know, all through the ministry, we missionaries, we eat mosquitoes, you know. We're just ministering. If they get in your mouth, you swallow them. You don't know what else to do. So they don't hurt you. And so I thought it was just a mosquito. And so I played with one hand, and I just did like this and brushed off my leg, and put my other hand back up there. And I played for a few seconds more. And then in a minute, the other leg, it felt like a mosquito was biting me. So I did like that and played with this other hand. And you know, I put both hands up on the organ and was still playing, and all at once, something grabbed my entire body, and I began to have pain that I never had experienced in my life. And I have borne 2 children, but never had I had a pain like that. And my fingernails were going into my hands with the blood. And I looked down at my arms and my hands where I was playing on the organ, and ants were running up, were going all over me. And I looked down on my pink dress that I had on, and ants were all over me. I looked at my legs, ants were everywhere, and the pain began to become more intense and more intense. Finally, I just could not play. I did not know what was happening. I didn't know anything except Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. While my fingers was going into my hands, I didn't know they were going into my hands until later. My fingernails was cutting in. I said, Jesus, Jesus. Some way or another, I can't remember how it happened, and they told me about it later. I had this pretty pink dress on. And you know, Jesus, He knows. He knows. He knows when we're going to go through a severe trial. And when we pray at any cost, I'll win the lost, Jesus. When we pray that prayer, we really sometimes don't know what we're praying. I pulled my dress off and threw it. Still, I had more clothes on than the people coming. But I couldn't remember what was really happening, because the little Panama lady came, and she was helping me because she knew the dress had to get off of me quickly. And then the little Panama lady started taking her fingernails and scraping, pull those ants off, but the stingers were already in me. And they were all over my legs and all up my arms. And as they ran to the van and got my son's shirt. My son is an extra, extra large. And after this Panama lady felt like she had gotten all of them off, they put that shirt on me. But see, I couldn't remember much, because all I could think of was Jesus. Jesus, I didn't even think about the prayer I'd prayed at any cost, Lord, I'm going to win the lost. All I said was, Jesus. But then in a few seconds, I mean, I guess a few seconds or a few minutes, I don't know. Another thing came in my mind besides Jesus. Someone was guiding me over to the organ again. Of course, I found out later they had already cleaned it all off and got rid of the ants and moved the organ. Got me something else to sit on. And they had started guiding me over toward it. And then they set me down. And this word came in, play loud, Donna. Play loud, they're coming. They're coming. Play loud. You know, I have no idea what song I played. I have no idea what chords I played. But I played loud. I have no idea if I had the pedal down loud or not. They said I did. I played loud. And I still saying, Jesus, play loud. And I'd say, Jesus, in my heart, play loud in my mind. And after a while, I heard my name. It said, Hermana Luna. And that was my name in Spanish, and I'd been hearing it all through the countries as they would turn the services to me. And when the minister said, Hermana Luna, Jesus, heal me. Heal me. And you know, they came to me and said, oh, Hermana Luna, you didn't know, but these ants, this kind of ants, just a few of them will kill you within 20 minutes. And the people were standing around watching to see if I'm going to fall over dead. But when 20 minutes was up, because the young people had watched the time, I didn't know what time it was. I just know I'm to play loud. They're coming. They're coming. Jesus healed me when I heard my name spoken, that the minister's turning the service to me. You know, he did not know that I had not been healed because Jesus was holding me there at that organ and I was playing loud. I stood up and took the microphone and I told the people, Jesus has healed me. And then they began to tell me what had happened, you know, over the 20 minutes and everything. And there I stood in my son's shirt that comes down to my knees. And then, you know, our slips, ladies, come down a little longer. And so I was fully dressed. Like I said, I had more clothes on than they did anyway. And then they came and they held a quilt around me. And the little Panama lady had picked out all the ants off my pink dress during the 20 minutes. And they held a quilt around me while they put my dress back on me. And we had a glorious service. A wonderful service. And that's the first night. The first service of those six churches that I was going to go in and minister and help to get started, all in different villages all around in Panama. And I thought about the price. It wasn't too great. Oh no, not for the things I saw. Jesus knew, and he gave me the grace to stand that pain long enough for those people to see that when Jesus heals, and when they saw that I was healed, they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And praise God, from that church then to the next church to the next one. And Jesus established all of those churches. But first, somebody had to pay a price. I'm glad he chose me. I'm glad he let me almost die so I might raise the banner high and I can show them that I serve a Jesus that can not only save us, but can heal our bodies also. For the people that are out in these remote areas, you know, are so very ill. And of course, right in these countries, in these big cities just like this city, so desperate for Jesus. And I want to pay the price to do my part while I'm here in Thailand to reach out, as I already have two young people from Cambodia that escaped to Thailand, from Thailand to the Philippine refugee camp, from the Philippine refugee camp to the United States. Just two out of so many thousands that need our arms. I'm just talking about people that need our arms and our prayers and our love. And we're going to give it to them. We're going to get the job done if we stay true and faithful. And now, I still pray that prayer at any cost. Oh God, to win the lost, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. For you see, just those two young people that are in the United States now, knowing five languages, have already prepared themselves to come with us and be our interpreters for five different languages in the Asian countries. God knows. He knows. When they were leaving the refugee camp in the Philippines, as I was ministering there a few years ago in 1980, they left. They looked at me and said, "But we have no mommy and daddy." You know, they were killed and starved to death. I said, "Yes, you do. When you get to the United States, you'll have a mommy. I'll be your mother. And you'll have a daddy. You haven't met him yet." Of course, they've met him now. And now they have two children, and they call us grandma and grandpa. And we have two biological children of our own that are not married. So we have two little Chinese and Cambodian grandchildren. But you see, it started just those two young people now with us together can reach out to so many now, more souls, because we need more interpreters. We need more interpreters. In fact, I would like to say for you to pray with me, because while I am here, I need an interpreter, because Brother Moon has one. And if God opens the door and has already started opening many doors, I will need one for my ministering. And I don't doubt my Jesus for anything. I don't doubt him, because it's when it's for souls, he'll take care of it. Remember, keep praying that prayer at any cost. Win the lost. He'll give you grace. He'll give you the strength to stand. And when it's over and the pain is over, you'll say, "Lord Jesus," like I did, "if this is what it takes, I'm willing. I'm willing to do it for the sake of souls, that they might be one to Jesus Christ." Would you please stand? It doesn't matter where we're at in the world. We still have to make a whole new dedication just every day. It seems like even more special every day, because we're away from friends and loved ones. That we can't just pick up the telephone, you know, and call and say, "Mama, Daddy, or auntie or my uncle or my pastor pray for me today? I'm having a severe trial. We just have to go on our knees and pray just to God, like Brother Moon was preaching a while ago about Jesus. Just it's us and Him. But you know what? We're the majority. If we have Him, we have it all. But still, it's the new dedication. And I think, to me, the most wonderful thing, when we have the Christians all together, and those of you working so diligently for Jesus, we can just come together and praying, reaching out with a new dedication to Him, and then helping one another, praying for each other. Because you see, I need you. I need you. You need each other. We have to have each other in order to keep lifted. We need to lift each other up every single day and every time we're together to remember to pray for each other. And would you all like to just come and stand here and we can just pray together? I'm going to turn it to Brother Moon and he can go ahead and pray as you'd like. But to me, it's just standing together in agreement that Jesus will help each other and will help us, and we'll pray for each other as God wants us to. Would you please just come on forward?